it makes me sad to see that there's so many, especially young women, who really don't know anything about men, basically. They don't know how to treat men. They've never been taught how to treat men. I think that men, through the years, have always been taught kind of like how to treat a woman, right? It's nice if you buy her flowers, if you take her out, all these standard procedures that men have been taught to have to be as a gentleman. But a woman doesn't really know. And that is really very interesting, that women just only know what to expect from men, but don't know really how to treat a man.
I believe that every person has the power to transform their life. Today, I will unlock that power in you. I'm Luke, and you're listening to the Luke Mind Power Podcast. It's time for you to heal and to find inner peace. Are you ready? Just send me a DM that says, "I want inner peace," to get started. Until then, enjoy this episode. What's up, guys? Welcome to another amazing episode on the Luke Mind Power Podcast. I hope you're having a fantastic day. I'm super excited for this episode because it is with a good friend of mine. Her name is Esther, and she's someone who's sharing some extraordinary advice, wisdom, information out there on social media, on all her platforms, about relationships, about personal development, becoming a better version of yourself. And I've learned a lot already from her, and I can't wait to have her share her wisdom on the Luke Mind Power Podcast. So welcome, Esther. It's a blessing to have you.
Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, Luke. Really, I'm so pleased to be here finally.
Absolutely. I'm excited for this conversation. And before I ask you, what's your story and, you know, how did you get to where you are, and how do you know so much? I guess, you know so much because we've lived life, right? But there's one thing I just want to say about you just quickly is that when the first time I saw you, immediately, even though I obviously haven't met you in person, I felt this connection, like as if I've known you for a long time. And even just when you came on now, it was like, hey, nice to see you again.
Yeah.
There's this peace. Like, I feel like it's just like, it's, how do I explain it? Like, it's just not, it's natural. It's not, there's no fear. There's no like, oh shit, be careful what you say. Or like, it's like, there's just a flow.
You should never have to be careful with what you say to me. I think that the most important thing, and we forget this in life so easily, is that we shouldn't be focused on impressing anybody. Mm. We are here only once, from what we know, and we should just live it as authentic as possible. And I think that's also a big problem nowadays with people because of social media. We tend to want to imitate lives that other people live. You understand what I mean? And I think it's very important to stay true to yourself. That's why people should listen to people like you, because that's what you focus on, how to be the best version of you and not how to be focused on what might they think if I say it like this or like that. No, you have to be as much as possible yourself, which obviously changes. You're never staying the same, right? But that's why humans are so interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you have a BS in psychology as well, so I know you know a lot about the mind, human behavior and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's also, you know, as we evolve, like, and you know, this concept of frequency, you know, and attracting people into your life versus chasing them, you know, and when I first started this journey, it was, you know, you talk a lot about, you know, surround yourself with successful people or successful environments, or, you know, surround yourself, like who you surround yourself with is whom you become. And a lot of people are like, well, how do I get to connect with people like that? Or how do I surround myself with successful people? And it's like, well, before I was able to actually see you, because I had to be on the right frequency and the right mindset or level of where I'm at right now in my life to go, oh, what she's talking about resonates. You know, and so that's where I'm coming on and saying, well, we must be on a similar frequency, if not the same, for us to feel so in flow, in alignment, makes complete sense. And where we connect, it's just natural.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Somebody once told me many, many years ago, the teacher will arrive at your door when you are ready. And I thought that was so excellent because, like with you, when I saw your page, I was ready to look at your material because I was on that frequency, you see? And I think that's also the hardest thing for people to feel something when it hasn't arrived yet in their lives. That's why most people get stuck on a certain level and they never really evolve and become their best version, because they're like, yeah, but wait a minute, I need proof first before I can become that, right? I need to know that it's going to be okay, but you first need to feel it. If you don't feel it, that's the problem. With all this journaling and writing things down and imagining your future and dreaming, that's all great. But it's, if you don't feel it, you can write down as much as you want, right? And burn the paper and throw it away and all these tricks that we learn from the internet. If you don't really feel it, if you're not on that frequency, this switch, you know, to that frequency, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Esther, I love what you're doing and the information that you're sharing. One of the things that I really love is that you're kind of going the opposite direction and you're actually giving real powerful advice in relationships, but coming from the masculine point of view, in a sense, like as in you're giving the attention and awareness to like how relationships really are and kind of should be, in a sense, because I look at it from a male's point of view and I'm like, yes, I'm like, yes, this is correct. But yeah, I know a lot of women who have been hurt or broken or manipulated or gone through really toxic relationships, they would look at what you're saying and be like, no, because we're in this the masculine too much. So there's this protective mechanism when we've been through really hurtful relationships, then people would probably look at what you're saying and go, no way, I reject that. That's not how it should be. You know, so I know it takes a lot of courage and confidence for you to actually show up the way that you're showing up and sharing what you're sharing. You must have a story. You must have a lot of experience through relationships or things that you've gone through. How has this all evolved for you?
Yeah, you are right. It takes a lot of courage, because sometimes the reactions from people, especially from women, are quite aggressive. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I don't really take it personal, because I have such an inner need to get this message out. It's more important to me to focus on helping people than to focus on the negativity that sometimes people throw at me. You know, I think people are very frustrated because we go through times now that nobody knows their role anymore. That's why there's so much confusion in dating, because there's so much freedom that everybody just thinks for themselves and does what they think is right for them, which makes us very selfish, and which also makes us, all of us, have some kind of a narcissistic traits now in our character. We all know about narcissism, obviously, but it makes me sad to see that there's so many, especially young women, who really don't know anything about men, basically. They don't know how to treat men. They've never been taught how to treat men. I think that men, through the years, have always been taught kind of like how to treat a woman, right? It's nice if you buy her flowers, if you take her out, all these standard procedures that men have been taught to have to be as a gentleman. But a woman doesn't really know. And that is really very interesting, that women just only know what to expect from men, but don't know really how to treat a man. So this is what I would like to give to women as like a gift, this knowledge. First of all, I have this knowledge because I'm older, so I have my own life experience, but also through my work that I've spoken to so many men and women. And because I live kind of not in one country at the same time, I meet so many people from different cultures, different backgrounds, different religions. And all of these people share one thing, that they still struggle nowadays with how to keep a relationship alive, how to attract this kind of person that fits you. Women are so tuned into their masculine energy right now, because this is what we wanted. We wanted to liberate us from men. We wanted financial freedom. But with that financial freedom, we also pay a cost. We pay a price. We've become like men. We live like men. So our whole expectations have changed towards men. And also the way we think about men and the way we treat them. It cannot be that you're both in your masculine energy so much, right? So I teach women to live more of a soft life, you know, to go back to, let's say, to take the good of what used to be in relationships and incorporate it in the nowadays life. So some old school rules that used to stand for many years are very useful nowadays. And that's what I would like to, give to people, to bring this into modern relationship, to bring these rules back.
Well, you're bloody doing a good job,
Thank
and
you.
you are like, the other thing that I notice about you as well, not only are you speaking so much truth, which I know that not everybody's ready to hear, but it's the same thing as Luke Mindpower back when I first started the podcast and I was sharing. And as time has gone on, I know myself that still there's a lot of people that hear me when I express myself and I, turn the volume up on what I'm sharing, that people reject it, or people say, tell me to stop swearing, or that I'm full of myself, or, this guy, he's too loud, or he thinks he knows it all, or whatever. But I think we're all at stages of our life, and this is the power of these platforms of social media, that you get to communicate, you're planting seeds. Not everybody is open or ready to receive, but it may be something that is sparked. And people have an epiphany or a light bulb moment 6 months down the road, 12 months down the road, where something's going to happen in their life and they're going to go, I remember watching a video one time and I remember this person talking about that or saying that. And because of you sharing your wisdom and your information, we help people to wake up or to come back to like your true divine self.
You're right. There's a lot of resistance, I think. People who react like that, this guy's full of himself, or what's he talking about? Oh, another one of those people who try to, tell us that it's all possible and doable. Those are people who, like you said, they're just not ready yet. Not everybody is ready at the same period in their lives. Some people are never ready, but it's actually the resistance that keep from change, from accepting that you only through change you can evolve. It's this resistance that keeps us on that lower level. So if you can just go relax and accept that life is all about change, right? Nothing stays the same. You don't stay the same. Your environment doesn't stay the same. So if you keep resisting, you'll just live a life full of pain. But if you accept that there's change and you open your mind and your eyes and you look around you what's going on, then you can actually have a beautiful life with all the ups and downs. Live more in a conscious way. That's what people nowadays also don't do because we are so incredibly distracted by all this information all day long from the internet mostly, obviously. We live such flaky lives. It's very hard to live conscious in the Western world, at least. So I think that this resistance is what keeps people unhappy, to be honest.
What do you think is in relationships? What do you th do you think that, for example, like I think, independence, like I've talked about, I mean, I've dealt with a lot of people that, for example, are in relationships where they don't have that independence or that freedom or that power because one person manages the finances, or one person is making more than the other person, or one person is the breadwinner, the person that makes the income, which then I think possibly is abused in a sense, because it's like, no, I'm the one that's in control of this, so I'm the one that manages everything. And then if that's the case, well, that means that the other person doesn't have access to it or can't use it the way that the other person can, because they're not the one that's working in a sense, which then diminishes their light or their power to be able to go, well, I need to do something, or I want to pay for something, or I want to do something or travel or whatever, and they can't because the other person's in control. So, this is something that I've dealt with, with many people that I've worked with, and one of the things that I've spoken about on my podcast is like, if that's you, then you have to do something about it, because you're also, there's got to be a balance in relationships, and it's like, if you continue to allow someone to be in that power and that's stopping you from your peace or freedom or doing things that you love, well, then you're really going to be limited in in your own conscious expansion, because you can't take that kind of action to like live your best life because you're not in control. So I'm also like pushing that message of like, if that's you, well, you need to get your shit together and you need to sort yourself out as well. Because if someone is in control of your finances, well, then, a lot of the time it takes away your freedom. What are your thoughts on that? And do you think also, coupled with that, you know, we have, you know, it's also possible that sometimes, you know, like, for example, my purpose as a divine masculine, as a man, I want to provide, I want to protect, I want to be the one that is able to take care of my partner. And that may mean for me that I do make more than her. What if it's the other way around? How does that, like, change the dynamics of the relationship from the masculine point of view as well? Because is it an ego thing of, like, you know, yeah, I'm the masculine, I'm the one that's managing that, and I also, but it's not about abusing that though, you know, it's the balance of giving and receiving and taking care of each other.
Yeah, these are huge topics. First of all, what I always say is, before you enter a serious commitment in a relationship, before you, let's say, decide to get married or anything like that, which is pretty serious, obviously, you have to make sure that you're both on the same page. Money for a man, I think, a man identifies money is his power, right? It's what he knows that he needs to have. A man feels that he needs to work. If he doesn't work and make money, he feels like a loser. He feels like he's not accepted by society. It's like with women and beauty. When a woman gets older, it's very hard for a woman because it's her beauty that's kind of her passport, right? So, and women know that it's their beauty that keeps a man close to them, et cetera, et cetera. So these are the two differences between us. But I think that, for example, if a woman, the second part you mentioned, and then I'll go back to the first part, if a woman is the main breadwinner, for me, that's a big issue. It's not so much an issue for her, it's an issue for the man. Because a man cannot identify and be leaned into in his masculine energy as much as he wants to and be the leader in the relationship, knowing that she has the financial power. It's just the way it is. It's unacceptable. This man will start to resent his woman at some point in time. And she might also, through her position in the relationship, treat him in a different way. Treat him like, I know better. We women tend to do that. Because women already, by nature, we very often have this kind of like mothering way of loving men. Because that's how we kind of think we should show that we love him, by telling him, like, don't drink that water, that's not good for you, don't do this, did you take your pills? And that has to do with our own issue. It doesn't have to do with the man. It has to do with our problems, that we feel that we need to be in control, because then we are at peace. You know, we can relax that he's not going to forget his pills, because if he forgets his pills, then he's going to be ill, and then I'm going to hear all about it. So it's a little bit of a selfish thing. So I think it's wrong if a woman earns more. I mean, I've seen this also working with a lot of women. They start to cheat on their man. They don't respect their man. I think it's wrong that a man is at home and taking care of the kids and doesn't work and she works. It just doesn't work. As much as we would love it to work, in reality, it just doesn't work. The first part of what you told me, if the man earns most of the money because he's the main breadwinner, and maybe the woman is a stay-at-home mom for some years, maybe she works a part-time job. It used to be a big issue that men would have this power over women because they were the main breadwinners, and there was a lot of, you know, manipulation, a lot of emotional and maybe also physical manipulation. But I think the way society has developed now, with all the protection that women have, at least in the Western world, I'm not talking about, you know, third world countries. I think there's a lot of ways for women to protect themselves. There's a lot of, you know, help centers you can reach out to that didn't exist 20, 30 years ago. I think that you have to make very, very good agreements before you get married with that man. If that man is the main breadwinner, you should have a joint bank account where there is money that's joined for the couple, that he should put some money every month in. Maybe she also has some money there, but maybe not. I think it's also wrong what many women do nowadays, that we earn our own money. So we have this attitude like, this is my money. I do whatever I want with it. You earn most of the money, so you should spend on us, on the family, on the kids. But my money is my money. I also think that's wrong. I'm not saying that it should be 50-50. I don't believe in that concept. We are not equal. We are not equal by nature, so don't force it. But if a woman makes some money as well, it's nice if she shows in her own way that she wants to provide something for that man. That's my opinion.
I love it. I mean, you're so well spoken as well. Like
Thank you.
listening to you, you're very eloquent. The way you present yourself on social media as well. I mean, you're beautiful. Your energy is radiant. Your different styling of like what you wear and everything like that. It's amazing. And
Thank you.
you're really modeling. Like I think you're such an inspiration to everybody who watches your content, which is amazing. And I know that it's not easy to maintain this kind of like vibrancy and energy and lifestyle, but has it gotten easier over time, or have you kind of like just stepped into this position of like, yeah, I've been working on me for this many years, and now I'm at this place where I'm able to like really own it. It's kind of just like habitual. It's my paradigm that I live in right now that's so rock solid that, hey, I'm Esther and this is me and this is how I'm showing up.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not even so busy with myself in this whole journey. I'm more busy with really creating valuable content because I think that there's so much crap out there, right? And there are also, on the other hand, many people who I really admire, like you are one of them, who you really do something good. And you also don't make it about you, it's about the people, right? And this is what's very important to me. So I'm not so busy with myself, but what I would really like, Luke, as a next step is to be more out there and to actually meet the people in person. Because when you can hug a woman who's been through a lot, instead of just talking to her on the phone or seeing her on a video, I think it will make all the difference, And I'm really, really looking forward to that next step in my career. Because I love creating content. I just love it. It comes from within, I don't really see it as a job, if you understand what I mean. But I would love to go and arrange events and be out there in the world to connect to people and to listen to their stories up close.
Well, as you're speaking, and I already planted this seed, for everybody who's listening, you took me back to Melbourne when you said, it's so different. You talk to someone on Zoom or on a WhatsApp call or on Instagram or whatever it is, but when you see them in person, you get to hug someone. It's a completely different experience, different energy. And I remember doing this at one of my events in Melbourne, in Australia, and I finished the event, and then we had people coming up and doing a meet and greet with me, and there were many people that would come up and say, hey, I've been listening to your podcast for, 12 months or however long. You've changed my life, and this is who I was 6 months ago, and this is what I was going through, and because of listening to your podcast and watching your content, I decided to do this. And then being able to like appreciate them in that moment and giving them a hug was like one of the most beautiful and amazing experiences, So this really feels like, for me, that's why I said, at the beginning, I feel so in alignment with your energy and who you are. And that's why I said that, we have to do some events this year in Europe.
I would love
Because,
that. I
yeah,
really would.
because I think that so many people could learn from you, but also, my energy in the space is
We
crazy,
can dance
so
together.
of course, that's the whole purpose. But it's really, again, I love to collaborate, but obviously I have to, it really has to be in alignment, has to make sense to me. And it's almost like sometimes we can be forced to like, okay, that's a successful speaker or a person. It's like, okay, we'll collaborate with them. But there's a difference when actually the collaborations are like really in alignment and you're really connected with the people that you're working with, which means that everybody who shows up and wants to attend these kind of events is actually going to feel the authenticity, of the experience.
I totally agree. And
I'm excited
but
for
what
that.
I always say is, this is at least how I feel with my work. when you help people, you get so much back. Because some people ask me, isn't it exhausting to always give, give, give? No, because by giving, you get so much back. Because you get back the happiness that the other people find in their lives, right? The next level that they enter. So that for me is just the biggest gift ever. That gives me energy to go on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So the law of reciprocation, right? When you give, you start giving starts the receiving process. But we have to help people become aware of people pleasing and of giving too much of themselves or giving because they need that external validation.
Yeah, I used to be an
How can
expert in that.
you help, yeah,
That's
give us,
how
help
I,
us, help us
yeah.
understand that deeper so that we're not, you know, so we're using this whole process, this law of reciprocation in the right way.
I think what helped me personally a lot was to at some point ask myself questions. Like, why are you doing this? You know? Because when you start to ask questions, you kind of push yourself to really dig deep and to give answers. So why are you letting these people like do all this to you? You know, why are you giving them so much more than you know deep down that it somehow isn't right? And what's also so wrong is that very often, you know, if you are this person who wants to give a lot because that's how you know how, that's how you've been taught how love is earned, let's say, through working for it all the time. You are so not true to yourself, and it's exhausting. When it's not authentic, it tires you. And you also have expectations, and then you get disappointed, right? It's like in relationship, you see all these women, but I gave him everything. I gave him all of myself, and I gave him this and this and that. Yet that's wrong. As a woman, you should always, always, always restrict with giving. You should never give everything so easily because then it's not appreciated. So give, but you know, restrict also, because the restriction is what shows your self-respect and that you understand your self-worth. When you meet a man, for example, I always tell this to my clients, you meet a man and within 3 months, you are almost living with him. You cook for him, you clean for him. You know, 3 months ago, this guy was a stranger. So take it slow, you know, step by step. Give of yourself little by little. That shows, you know, that you really respect yourself. And then that man will also respect you. That's how it works.
Well, I know that myself, you know, and I mean, I think I've shared stuff like this with my nieces, you know, that, you know, in terms of relationships, meeting people, you know, allow things, you know, trust and connection is something that takes time. It's something that evolves. And the more that you risk, and I mean, I teach this within myself, the relationship within myself and the relationship that we have with others, the more that we respect ourselves, the more that that people respect us. The more that the better we treat ourselves, right? How you treat yourself is how you teach other people to treat you. And I say this from a male's point of view is that, you know, if I meet someone and, you know, we're connecting and, you know, and we're getting to know each other and there's, you know, attraction and all that kind of stuff, the longer that it can prolong the, you know, the sexual connection in a sense, like, if you really, really are invested in someone, you know, from the male's point of view, I'll fucking wait. I'm not in a hurry. You know, if I love you and I am like invested in you, the sex is not the first thing. For me, it used to be though, I'll be honest, used to be 100%. But now it's like, nah, man, I want mental stimulation. You know, I want appreciation. I want care. I want time. You know, I want affection. I want actions rather than just communication, right? And that's why it's actions speak louder than words, but time is the biggest key into what is going to help me to understand that this person, and also energy. Like your energy has to be matching and complementing my life. And then as you talk about a lot and you're on your in your content, peace. Like
Yes,
bring me
so
peace, man.
important.
You know, if you like, this is the one thing for me in previous relationships that really, and this is part of my own insecurity, and that's why I say one of my love languages, even though it's not one of the five, is communication. Because in the past, there were so many situations that I went through in relationships where I would overthink. Now, the overthinking came from inconsistent messages, canceling on things that we had to do, no communication, which led to me overthinking, which creates a lack of peace because I'm sitting there going, why hasn't she messaged me back? What's going on? So then what happened? And so this is why I've become so relentless about peace in my life, because I've learned how it makes me feel. And I remember a couple of years ago, I met somebody and I was seeing her talking for like 3 weeks straight. All of a sudden, she disappeared for a couple of days. Made me overthink, started making me doubt. What did I do? I was at that time still going, what did I do wrong? Did something happen? Let's look back through the thread of the messages and go, where did I go wrong? What did I do? When I know 150% I was showing up, because I was like, I was already Luke Mindpower. I was already stepping into this. And I said to myself, I am going to be my true authentic self. I am not changing for this person. If this is right, it will grow. And after 3 weeks, it was too much, obviously, for her, because I was just, she was, and I remember her saying, are you always like this? You know, like, are you always this like motivating and high energy and all this kind of stuff? And I'm like, it's just me. This is who I am, you know? And I couldn't handle it. Yeah. Right. So then, when that happened, there I was questioning myself and going, you know, what did I do? Right. When I didn't do anything, I was just, and this is what has taught me that if something is going to work, if you are being your true authentic self and it doesn't work, it was not meant to work. They're not able to receive you as you are, and you shouldn't have to change yourself. So that created this disconnection. Then I tried to fix it and I said, look, let's communicate from now on. If something happens, like, let's talk about it. If you need to stop talking to me or you need a break or whatever, just tell me.
Yeah.
And then a day later, Esther, I was in the kitchen at my parents' house and I was standing there and I started to have this intuition and I was like, this is not right.
Yeah.
And this is causing you to overthink. Remove her from your life. And so basically the next day I had a conversation with her and that was it. So that's why I always say, anything that comes into your life that disturbs your peace, fuck it off.
But what did she tell you when you had that conversation with her? She told you what? You were,
well, she explained that this happened, yeah. This happened, this was too much. We were talking so much and I needed a break. And I was like, why didn't you just tell me that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so she wasn't able to communicate with me, to which created confusion, created me overthinking, you know what I mean? But it was just another lesson for me to learn. And I was just like, okay, I don't want to feel this feeling, you know? And that's why I relate to you so much when you talk about peace, because I know myself, when I'm peaceful, I'm the fucking best.
Yeah.
And I feel it, you know? And so that's how I try to make sure anyone in my environment.
Yeah, because when you're at peace, there's no resistance. There's no, you know, you can go with the right flow in life when you're at peace. It's very sad that we women are so bad at communicating what we actually want to say. You know, we are usually, we say what we think, but we don't really say what we actually feel. You understand what I'm saying? So we say like, oh, you talk too much, or this was too much, or that was too much, but we are unable to then explain how that made us feel. That put pressure on me, or that made me feel that I'm obliged to talk to you all the time, or something like that. We are unable to do that. And that's a pity. We have to learn that as women, you know, how to communicate with men. And that's why we very often are put in this, we have this label like women are chaotic, because we are in the way we communicate. It's very hard for us to think in a logical way and to communicate straightforward. I think actually that most relationships go wrong because of unspoken expectations. You know, I met this girl the other day, and a Greek girl, and she's 30, and she was telling me, I've been with my boyfriend now for 5 years. Do you think it's a problem that he's 2 years younger? I said, no, why would that be a problem? She said, yeah, because now we decided to live together. And obviously, I think we both want the same thing. I think we both want marriage, but we're going to first see how it is to live together. And I'm like, are you sure that this is what you want? Because she looked very like apologetic almost when she was explaining this to me. And I said, are you sure that this is what you really want to do? You are 30. You've been with him for 5 years, and now you're going to see how it is to live together. What exactly is it that you want to see? Haven't you seen enough of each other in 5 years? Haven't you been on trips together? Don't you know if he is a morning person, an evening person, or you know what I mean? She's like, yeah, but you know, we're just gonna try. I said, that's wrong. Because you will end up resenting him, because you will probably hope that, okay, if I do this, then maybe within the next year he will ask me to marry him, because that would be the logical thing. But is that how he thinks? Have you really spoken about this? Because this is the problem. People enter relationships and we just go with what we think, you know, is the way to go. But at the end of the day, there's all these unspoken expectations, you know? We women expect the husband, for example, I'm just saying a stupid example now, to bring flowers. He doesn't bring flowers, you're in a bad mood. You show it to him, but you cannot really tell him, I feel sad because you don't bring me flowers. No, you tell him, you don't bring me flowers anymore. Why don't you ever bring me flowers anymore? Immediately it goes to the blaming the other. And then the resentment builds up. You see, it's very hard for people, especially for us women, to just communicate exactly what it is we want to say. And then men get very frustrated. And they, for men, it's difficult anyway to speak about feelings and emotions because they're not taught by society how to do that, nor by their parents. A mother hardly asks her son, like, how do you feel, you know, about this? So, and then you get all these frustrations, all this buildup of these small things. It's also always the small things that ruin relationships. It's never the cheating. The cheating is the result of all these small little things.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about cheating.
Yes, ask me. I love that subject. My favorite
why,
subject.
like I say, you know, I say cheating happens because something, there's no balance and there's something missing. If there's something missing in a relationship, and I'm not getting what I'm not being fueled in that way by my partner, then I'm going to go find it somewhere else.
Yes.
There's,
You
you know,
just
there's,
said it.
it's not because, oh, he just wants to sleep with more women. It's like, no, there's something that's not happening that should be. There's a disconnection somewhere. What are your thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah, my thoughts are, of course, there are many reasons why people cheat, right? It's very hard to just put everything in a box and that's how it goes. But in general, let's say, I think that men need to feel appreciated. And I think that women don't accept that. We resist this. We're like, you know, should I talk to him like a little kid? And why do I need to show appreciation if he just parked my car in the garage? That's such a simple thing to do. That's a big, big issue. I see this every day. I tell to women every day, why do you resist this? So why is this so hard for you to just thank him and in a sweet way and kiss him and hug him when he parks your car in a garage? Isn't that a nice thing that he does that for you? Yeah, but that's like a normal thing, they go. This is what a husband should do, right? He just parked the car. He didn't do anything big. Yes, but you know what? All these little things that men do for us women are gifts. And that's how we should see it. And a man expects from his woman to give an evaluation to the gift, to give it a number, you know, a 5, a 3, a 10. So if you don't give any number to the small things, it's like bringing you a coffee in bed. Okay, whatever. He does that every Sunday. No, that's a 10. You know what I mean? And show the appreciation. I think that's a big, big reason why men cheat. They don't feel appreciated anymore by their women. And it doesn't even have to do so much with the sex itself. It's more like a mental thing. They come home, she sits on the sofa. She doesn't wait for him by the door ever. That's like a special thing to do. Why is it so hard to do that? Isn't it great? He comes home from work. He's been out there. He has to prove himself every day that he's this great guy, no problems, no emotions involved, and he does his job. That's what we all expect from men. Men are not allowed to crack, to cry. If you start crying in the office, we'll think you're crazy, right? Something is really wrong with you. We'll send you to a shrink immediately when you're a guy, I mean. If a woman cries, like, oh God, she has her period, probably, or something like that. So there's so little acceptance by society, by us women, from men showing any kind of weakness. So why is it so hard to just appreciate him, you know, for everything that he is? And if there's nothing to appreciate because he does absolutely nothing for you, then why are you with that man? You chose him, right?
Yeah, well, I was just about to respond to you in terms of like, why can't you appreciate him? And then people can be like, well, because he doesn't appreciate me. It's like, well, like you just said, well, why are you in that relationship for? It's like, well, because we've got three kids and we've been married for 10 years and this is how it is, you know? So I think the challenge there is, you know, is doing the work.
I have a good hack for that. The 10 years, the three kids, the wife put on weight, he's disinterested. I understand this concept very, very well. It's very hard to analyze it now here because we need a separate podcast on that. But go back as a woman. I'm speaking now from a woman to a woman. You're just a listener right now. Yeah. Go back and try to remember how you two were together in the beginning, without the kids, without the financial issues, without the maybe a sick parent, without the dog died, without all that. And try to remember how you felt and how you treated him in the beginning. And treat him like you used to treat him for 1 month and see what happens. Because I'm telling you, if you do that, he will start to reflect on your behavior and he will soften up. I'm 100% certain of that. But be consistent. Don't do it for 2 days and then snap at him because he got home too late and his dinner is cold and you don't care. Don't do that. For 1 month, be consistent and see what happens. This really, really works. And if it doesn't work, then there's something really wrong and you have to go and get help if you want to save your relationship. And don't save it for the kids because that's just an excuse. You save it for yourself or you don't save it.
You talk about women not being able to express themselves or communicate so much. But I know this to be also true with men. Not being able to be open or vulnerable because, you know, the man has to have it all figured out, has to be in his power, in his masculine, in his ego, if sometimes, you know, like, and that is also a challenge. You know, I know myself that, I mean, majority of my clients are women, you know, and I'm like, well, why don't I attract more men? You know, and I'm like, yeah, because we do, we have our guard up more. We're like, we're supposed to be strong and be, you know, powerful that we can handle it. You know, we don't have to, you know, open up. And what I've learned myself is that, you know, and this is the thing, what I love about what I've done is that I am vulnerable. I am authentic. I am opening my heart. I'm communicating my feelings and expressing myself of what's actually going on within myself. And what I've learned now, because I've grown so much in confidence, is that I'm able to do this with the risk of knowing that people will reject me. People will leave me because of how real I'm being.
The right people won't leave you.
I know.
Actually,
that.
For a man to show vulnerability, it takes a lot of strength. Mm. It's actually something that I admire because it's not just that society expects you to be strong and to deliver, to be the proactive one, to take the lead. It's also us women who we don't accept our man when he starts to express his feelings. We talk him out of it. No, you don't feel like that. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? We don't want to listen because it scares us. It frightens us because we are taught that he knows everything. And suddenly if he breaks down, we don't know what to do because we are raised in a family. If we have a dad, if we're lucky enough to have a dad, daddy knows. You listen to daddy. Daddy is the leader in the house, right? Ask daddy, mommy says. So when you're with a man as an adult woman, you think he knows. If he falls apart, if he shows his vulnerability, we are in shock. Like, what's happening to him? We don't know how to handle that as women. We are not being taught how to deal with men who are vulnerable, who are actually the strong ones. So I think actually it takes tremendous strength to show your vulnerability. it's hard for men to express because there's lack of, you are not used to it. It's not expected of you. You haven't practiced with anybody. And then you're in this adult relationship with a woman who might not want to listen to you, right? Because she doesn't want to hear about your personal issues. She wants you just to go out there and bring money home. You know, it's very unfair to men. And that's, on the other hand, the good part nowadays, that we do have opportunities now to listen to men. I also listen to other men who are like you online with podcasts. And I'm very, very happy that this has started. And it's not so many men yet. It's still a very small group. You belong to a minority still. But you also teach men how to be different. And I'm sure you have a lot of men who are your silent viewers, you know, who don't ask for your help, but who really follow everything you do. I'm 100% sure of that. Who are not ready yet to literally ask.
Yeah, and that's okay, you know. And like you said, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You know, I'm one of those teachers, and I'm here for whenever anyone's ready to take some action, especially when you're talking about stuff like loving yourself. You know, from a male's point of view, that's like, you know, it's awkward.
Yeah, it's like, how do you do that?
Yeah, yes. It's like, you know, when I first
give yourself a high five in the mirror.
Yeah, no, like, you know, it's a bit, yeah. Yeah, so, but I love it because you know, it's like, I mean, why am I going to wait for someone to approve of me, or for someone to give me a high five, or for someone to hug me, or for someone to appreciate me, or for someone to have my back when I'm doing that for myself? You know, I think that shows leadership and responsibility, that you've got your own back, that you're not relying on something outside of yourself to. And this is what I had to come out of, because, you know, growing up being the youngest, you know, of three older sisters, you know, they all getting married, and then, you know, their husbands, you know, taking a kind of like a role of like a bigger brother, you know, for me, also kind of like living with them and not living with my parents, because they moved away when I was 20 and I chose to stay in Sydney. So then what happened was I was basically the younger brother, you know, the younger brother that we have to look after Luke, you know? So I'm like living with all my sisters from one house to the next. And I was like, not babied, but like I was the younger brother. So take care of him. Yeah, if he wants to stay at our place, he can stay at our place, you know? So I had to like grow out of that and go, stop waiting and expecting your sisters and your brother-in-laws and people to fucking help you become successful. Get off your ass and go and do it yourself. And that's why I really promote that, is like, stop waiting for success to fall on your lap. You know, because and it's not fulfilling when you've got people going, oh yeah, here you go, here's your success, or because you're part of my family, you can have this. You know, that's how I feel now, because like I've done this myself, and I'm like, man, this is the shit.
Yeah, the hard part is to push yourself to feel uncomfortable. That's where peace actually starts, and that's why we resist. What you did was to really climb a mountain yourself and to step out of that situation, to become literally uncomfortable, to find yourself and to understand what it means to have your own peace from within. Because society kind of tells us, you know, everything comes from yourself, you have to love yourself. It's not so easy to do for people at the end of the day, because you have to first get uncomfortable. It's like, for example, I always think of that when I'm at the gym. If I haven't worked out for 2 weeks because of work or travel, it always feels like I've never worked out in my life. The first time I start again, the next day I'm in so much pain. It feels so uncomfortable. But that is what you should do, right? That's the whole process. You first have to feel uncomfortable, feel pain, to get to a peaceful situation. Because then after a week again in the gym, I feel like I'm walking on clouds, you know, I'm so happy. I see my muscles again. I feel like, oh yeah, this is it. But first you have to, you know, feel the pain. And that's how it is also with your peace from within, I think. I really do believe that. It doesn't come by waiting for it. Most people, we wait for it. You know, we wait until we have more money. We wait until we have our own house. We wait until we have been with the boyfriend for 3 years. We wait, 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 wait. You know, we wait for him to take us out on Friday night to feel better. It doesn't work like that. If you don't find it from within at any stage you are at in your life, you're just waiting for validation from the outside, and that never makes anybody happy. That's just instant gratification in that moment. It's like buying in a very expensive bag. Oh, I see all these women on the internet. Oh my God, you're unboxing the bags, you know. That's great in that moment, but you've been carrying that bag for a week. You don't love that bag anymore like you loved it when you bought it. It's just instant gratification. If you don't feel it from here, that bag is not going to make you feel better in general.
Absolutely. So Esther, you're doing, as I mentioned earlier, you know, you're doing so much amazing work, posting content and sharing that all over the social media platforms. But what was it specific, or were there many occasions or situations or experiences that you've been through in your past that have kind of like built up this this inspiration or this why as to, you know, your force now pushing this out? What was that for you?
Well, to be honest, I've been like playing with this idea for many years that I wanted to do this. The truth of why I never started it was because I was afraid of social media. I was afraid of the exposure, because when I started with TikTok, you have worldwide exposure, right? And there's a lot of craziness out there. And I wasn't sure if I was ready to be judged, let's say. But when I started it, I thought, Esther, this is so stupid. What do you mean be judged? You don't even know these people, you know, who comment maybe or whatever. Just find in here what you actually want to share and forget about how people will react. Just start. It's like with everything, right? If you want to change your life, you have to start, right? You cannot change your life in theory or thinking about it or writing about it. It doesn't work. So you just have to be proactive about it. So before I actually started, I was doing other kind of things. I wrote a cookbook that all had to do with psychology. I had a cook show on Greek television, and I was also incorporate a lot of psychology into that cook show. It was very successful. And then I was always working out. So women were asking me, how do you do that? Can you help me? How can I feel better? I don't feel good with myself. So I started to give advice on that. And then I was modeling a bit. So I was kind of like all around this subject, but not really to the core of it. And then I just decided one day, okay, this is it. You know what? I'm just going to do it. And that's like 1.5 years ago about, yes, that I started. Almost 1.5 years ago. And I'm super grateful that I took this step. It's like with everything, you know, you just have to do it. Don't think about it. As soon as you start to overthink with everything, with jobs, relationships, should I do this? Should I do that? Most of the times you back out, you know, you don't do it, or you wait again. Waiting doesn't help. And it's okay if you fail. At least you've done it, you know, at least you've tried. It's better in my world to try a lot of things and to fail than to for 10 years just don't do anything, you know? That's actually failure, to do nothing, just to wait. And also the other thing is what I really learned in my life, Luke, and I also learned that because I live a lot in Greece, is that in everything in life, you really have to do it yourself. You cannot expect other people, you know, to help you become Luke Mind Power. When you have it set up and it's a legitimate business, of course you have people who work for you. But in the beginning, did you not start yourself? Right? You cannot have somebody hold your hand and go through the process. And that's how it is in life, you know? So that's how, why I decided to just do it. Just go for it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for showing up, you know, because you are. What you're sharing is really powerful, and I think it's so important. Let people know where they can support you or follow you or get in touch with you.
So I am to be found on TikTok, Instagram, with my name. And YouTube, I just post shorts so far, but I'm going to start YouTube very soon as well, because it's necessary.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'll add all your details in the description. Appreciate your time, and I'm really excited and looking forward to the future, taking more action and spreading more good energy out there into the universe.
Thank you, Luke, for having me.
Thanks, Esther. Thank you for joining me on this journey of self-discovery and growth. If you're ready to grow and reach your full potential and find inner peace, send me a DM that says, "I want inner peace," and I'll send you the next steps. You can accomplish anything you set your mind to. When you change your mind, you change your whole life. So don't hesitate and send that DM over to me. Myself and my team can't wait to meet you and witness your transformation in full glory. See you next week.